broadcasting live from the beautiful Legacy Theater in Alpharetta, Georgia, for Code Launch Atlanta 2021, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Now, here's your hosts.
And we are broadcasting live from Code Launch Atlanta 2021. Leather, what a great way to kick this thing off. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Jason Taylor and Rahil Malik. How are you?
We're excellent. We're excited to get this thing going in about an hour.
Code Launch Day.
Code Launch Day. So tell us a little bit about the history of Code Launch. What was kind of the catalyst for the idea?
Well, the catalyst for the idea was I was running a software development consultancy in North Texas, and we discovered that in our startup ecosystem, there were a whole bunch of really great startup founders whose progress had kind of come to a halt because of the technology development part is expensive and difficult to do right. And we discovered that talented software developers can jump in a startup's product and fix problems, add features, add polish, and elevate that product timeline and accelerate the startup toward MVP and toward funding.
So then you had that concept. You were like, hey, there's definitely a need for an ecosystem that's more symbiotic, that everybody's helping each other, that if one person fails, they have a place to jump off to. And then how did the actual event of Code Launch, you know, once you know that, how did you say, okay, Code Launch is the solution to this?
Well, we start with a like 6-week curation process. And it's kind of a part us deciding who we like and then also part us educating some of the more inexperienced applicants that are in our group. And so we're trying to sort those out and who is really a startup that we believe in and a team that we believe in. And is their product something that we can rapidly improve? Because our professionals engage with them for 2 full days, 12 hours a day back to back. So, but it's only so much you can accomplish in 24 hours. And so once we find that those groups, we realized these groups need attention. Now that we have accelerated their product, we need to bring the VC and angel community and the whole startup community in to see how much further they are and how much more investable they are. So the event is a showcase, and it also brings all the community players together, and it just adds to the connectivity of it.
Now, when you first did it, did you find that after the event there were kind of these love connections and this ability to partner and collaborate and maybe kind of grow in ways that you didn't anticipate when you kind of had it at the idea stage?
Well, this is the 9th event, and it ran annually for 8 years consecutive in North Texas before we decided to expand it all around the country and come to Atlanta first. And in the first 2 or 3 years, it was an idea that we were trying to get people to believe in and people to come to. And I could honestly answer that question and say, I don't know how much incredible benefit the startups got or the networking was at the first 2 or 3. But we stuck with it, and more people kept coming in that were actually important investors saying, this is really cool what you're doing. How can I help you make this bigger? And how can I help you keep doing it? And around U4, 5, 6, 7, 8, many of the startups went on to raise serious funding after this acceleration process. And so now I would say it's a very powerful networking event, especially in the startup community. And also a lot of our startups go on to achieve really great things.
So now you're getting a lot of attention from investors that say, hey, this is kind of a must attend event. This is a place where I have to be because they're really cultivating, you know, kind of the next generation of entrepreneurs.
Well, the smart ones. So I really do think that it's going to take time for the real, like, sophisticated business side of venture capital funding and firms and funds to actually realize how powerful Code Launch is. But it's going to happen eventually, and we're going to take this thing all around the country. My motto that I have is that, venture capitals and angels are always looking for something called deal flow. Right. And what that means is just opportunities to talk to startups and consider them. And my motto is tomorrow's deal flow starts at today's Code Launch.
There you go.
So now, Rahil, talk about your kind of journey with Code Launch.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So Jason and I have been friends for quite some time. And I was actually interviewing for a job. And I had the idea to kind of go unconventional with my interview process. And I built a pitch deck on myself as my resume. And I go,
I like it.
And I go, Jason, it's something I want to run by you. Like, obviously, I know who Jason Taylor is, but in this world, he's my friend I drink cold beers with, right? He's not, you know, a business associate or anything. I go, Taylor, I need to, I want to show you something I'm thinking about doing on this job interview. He goes, all right. So I show him, and he's captivated. He's like, you made this? I go, yeah. He goes, send me in. I'm going to copy it. I go, awesome, high praise. So you think I should do it? And he goes, yeah, do this in the interview. Now, I didn't get the job, but Jason then approached me and said, you should host Code Launch. I said, well, sure, I've never done anything like that before, but let's go, right? And as part of that process and the responsibility of being the MC is being on that curation committee, right? So you hear pitches from people from all different walks of life that are putting it all on the line for the shot to be on this stage.
Yeah.
And it transformed me, right? And I sat back and I looked and I go, these people are doing it. What's my excuse, right? They're putting all their time, effort, energy, blood, sweat, and tears into this thing. And they're sitting here telling me about it, looking for looking for feedback, looking for, you know, comments, concerns, trying to dig holes. I go, what's my excuse? And I'm happy to say and very proud to say that my business, First Gen Agency, was launched out of Code Launch. Because, and being in part of that selection committee, I gave some relatively brutally honest feedback, I guess I should say. And and as I was going up to approach this venture and this group to apologize, I was like, look, I want to apologize. They said, could we hire you?
Nice.
And that was the beginning, and that's how it started. And I am proud to say that I am a 100% a product of this environment. But bigger than that, it's a community, right? And it's a community, and it's a group of people that are all in it for the same reason. Yes, of course, we all want to make millions. We all want to be rich. But what really drives it home for me is we're not alone, right? You sit there as an entrepreneur starting out, you think, oh, I'm crazy. Nobody believes in what I'm doing, right? Like, you know, everybody and their mother is telling you why you shouldn't do this, right? How bad an idea this is. But you're not alone, because everybody on that stage, everybody that applied to Code Launch, hopefully all of your listeners have that idea that they've been sitting on. If this thing happens, then I'll do it, right? Or I'm just waiting for this perfect time. But they've been sitting on it for 7, 8, 9, 10 years sometime. And Code Launch is here to connect those people with other like-minded people so that we can all launch together. Like, we're all in this together and you are not alone. So that was the longest winded answer possible, but no, but I truly believe that. And that's why I flew, halfway across the country to be part of this. And thank you to Alpharetta, Atlanta, Georgia, Business Radio X here. Truly, it's been an amazing experience.
Now, any advice for the entrepreneur that is kind of had this on the back burner? What are some kind of But let's get some pitch advice. What are some things that are kind of do's and don'ts in your mind that's like, okay, they said this, that's a red flag, or I want to see more of that. This Absolutely. Is something that's a green light for me.
No, that's honestly the greatest question, and that is what First Gen Agency does, is that kind of consulting on the go-to-market strategy. But what we encounter a lot of times is the pitch is about them and their idea as opposed to the problem that they're solving. And people get really close to it and they just want to show up and tell you all this whiz bang, all these things. But what I always say is, what's the problem you solve? And take anybody that's ever listening on your pitch, anybody that's ever going to see your slide deck, take them on a journey, right? Show them what it looks like today. Whatever you're trying to solve, this is transferable across all industries. What does it look like today? And then how does your idea dramatically impact that? And taking that viewer who could be a potential customer or client on that same journey with them, right? You have to make it about the audience as opposed to you.
So now, how important in today's world when it comes to getting investors interested is having kind of that first customer or a sale of some size? It doesn't matter, I guess, the size, but just the fact that you sold somebody something, is that a must-have nowadays, or can you still get funding on a napkin idea?
So I would like to jump in there. I think that for people that have been a part of a successful startup, or they have some fancy pedigree from Stanford, computer science, or Harvard MBA, and you know, they've been through an entrepreneurship program, and those types of people might be investable at the, you know, napkin stage, but almost nobody else is, and there almost nobody is in that group. And a lot of people at Code Launch certainly are not. And so we teach a lean execution model to try to help people to go get either promises to buy or actual sales with surprisingly little effort or software development, so they can raise money later after that. Because definitely once you do have some customers, that increases your chances of being funded so many multiples. It's not even worth like trying to figure out. It's a lot.
So now let's talk about Code Launch, specifically the event, day of the event. What goes on at a Code Launch event?
Well, Code Launch is the finale of a six-week curation process. And so what's here is startups that we've invited to just have free tables. So we try to just give free elevation to local startups that want to be a part of this. So there's 8 or 10 in the Startup Expo that are not competing. They're just startups. And they're going to get a chance to meet people, watch the finalists, see really good pitches, see products that have been developed, and see what Code Launch is about, plus networking and you know, practice their own pitch. And then you're also going to see the 4 finalists who are going to compete on stage. And you're going to see the crowd vote at the end using one of our sponsors' platforms. And then we're going to reveal who the winner is. And the winner is going to get even more services from other companies that support the startup ecosystem.
And that's what the prize is, the grand prize at the end?
Well, the funny thing is, all these startups that are finalists, which is 4 today, they have already received a 2-day intense product hackathon from a professional agency like Improving or like Build Technology Group or like Code Authority. And so our motto is, by the time you're on stage, you've already won. Everybody's already won who's a finalist at Code Launch. We've already accelerated their product far beyond what they ever could have with zero money, right? So one group will win more free services than the others have already gotten. And a trophy. And the trophy's really cool. You'll see.
Now, this is just, you're kind of touring the country right now, starting in Atlanta. What are the other markets that you're going to do launch, Code Launch in?
Well, we're definitely going to Houston. It's not announced on the date yet, but it'll be our next city after our traditional stop in Dallas-Fort Worth in November.
Which is number 10, by the way.
Yeah, so the 10th ever Code Launch will be November 17th in Dallas-Fort Worth.
All right.
Applications are actually open for that right now. So you can a startup can apply for free, because we don't charge startups any money to apply. And we don't take any equity. And that's what's really different. Code Launch doesn't take money from the startups or take equity, and we build their software for free. Okay?
Well, and not only that, since we've been sitting here, I've seen you hand out at least a dozen drink tickets. So, I mean, I think everybody wins if they show up.
Well, look, you know, again, to Jason's point, like, I'm
except
a
bartender.
Yeah. Well, I'm a volunteer here, right? And I'm here because I believe in it. But, and the same thing we shared with the finalists that are on stage, that, you know, come here and realize that it's a real stage production, right? Mm-hmm. We are doing this right, and you're going to be on stage. Is that they've already won, right? They've already won because we've helped them accelerate their product, and they've already won by being here. Now it's about having fun and raising the awareness, right, of the community that Jason has started building, that I've piggybacked and am a wholehearted believer in. And it goes back to the simple fact that you're not alone, right? And we, you know, the days of, in my opinion, humbly, but the days of Gordon Gekko and crushing my enemies and stomping on the competition so that I rise to the top, I'll be honest with you, that's not the way I want to do business. I'd rather have friends than enemies, right? And people I can lean on, because we're all stakeholders, right? We all got a skin in the game here. If I help you get more listeners or entice some of your audience, you're going to talk better about Code Launch, and everybody wins.
Amen.
Right?
Amen. Okay, you got to tell me though, what does an
MC do? What are your responsibilities? Well, you got like a handful of jokes. You're going to be like Billy Crystal at the Oscars?
I mean, I guess you'll have to come to Code Launch and find out, right? Outside of keeping, this thing rolling and keeping the energy and excitement up, it's just, in my mind, as an ambassador, right? As a true believer, as it were, right? Into what this is and what it entails and how it can help. And, you know, if I can get a platform to do that and talk about the amazing things that this is, like, till he fires me or finds somebody's better, I'm going to run with it, right?
You seem like the right guy to do it, though. Well, Jason, I think you got the right guy for the job.
Well, the truth is I always wanted there to be an MC at the event because I need more people to get involved with it, come to it and see. So I could have done the MC the first 5 or 6 years, but I got someone every year because I wanted someone new to come. And I'm like, oh, this person is impressive to me. Would you like to be the MC? Well, I kept finding people that weren't very good at being the MC. And then I bumped into Raheel, and the more I hung out with him and the more I kind of saw his passion, I realized he had the right personality and the right affinity with the startup ecosystem. Thank you. And it would be a really good one. So, you know, I was like, hey, you want to do it? And no one's ever charged me money. But also no one's ever been paid to be the MC. So it's a love of labor, passion. And he did such a good job at the last one that we were like, boom, you're the MC all year next year. Let's go.
Nice.
Yeah. It's wild, guys, but look, we encourage you, come to Code Launch, come into a city near you, right? And if you can make it to Dallas, and then applications are open worldwide, right? So, you know, if you wanted to apply to Dallas, I encourage everyone listening to apply with their idea. All you need is a pitch deck and maybe some mock-ups or wireframes. If you don't have a prototype, that's okay. You don't have customers, that's okay. Let's see it. Put yourself out there, put yourself in the universe, because you never know what's going to happen. You never know who you're going to meet. You never know who's going to see that deck. Hey, maybe that wasn't for us, but we know somebody, right? We know somebody you should talk to. And that's what it's about. I mean, I've seen this man turn down Code Launch applicants for a million different reasons. And then 5 minutes later, send a follow-up email to a contact or somebody who's a hitter and be like, hey, they weren't for me, but you need to meet these people.
So now, if somebody wants to apply, you said that you can apply right now.
Absolutely.
At codelaunch.com.
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 That's it.
And then what do you need more of right now? Do you need more entrepreneurs? Do you need more investors? Do you need more sponsors? What is it that you need to keep Code Launch going and thriving and helping more folks?
Sponsors, investors, and startups.
So yes, 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 exactly.
All of those.
Yes, exactly.
And we're gonna, like you asked a minute ago, what markets are we taking this to? So Code Launch is an improving event. Improving is our parent company. And Improving has a consultant practice in 10 or 11 North American cities. Atlanta is one of the biggest. And Dallas-Fort Worth is another big one. And Houston is another big one. So what we're doing is taking it to our markets first. We have a Chicago market.
Can't wait for that one. That's where I'm from.
Cleveland, Columbus, Calgary, Canada, Mexico, Austin, Omaha, Twin Cities. And we're acquiring a new – we're venture-backed, VC-backed, and we have – I mean private equity-backed. And we have expansion plans based on M&A. So as we acquire in a new market, we will roll Code Launch in there to like establish what we're about and also try to help that startup ecosystem and that community.
Well, we're excited to participate. We have studios in a lot of those places that you're going to be in. So we hope to follow the story and keep telling your story.
Well, thanks. We hope that it's a very successful rollout. And hey, if you're listening right now, you can still get out here to the Legacy Theater at the Phase Event Center in Alpharetta.
That's absolutely right.
As you walk in, someone will say, hey, do you have a ticket? And you just scan in with promo code JWT-VIP. My name is Jason W. Taylor, so you're my VIP guest. It will cost you nothing, and you'll get to see what Code Launch is all about. Show doesn't start till 5:45.
Got time. Get in the car.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you both for what you're doing. Thank you for making the time to visit with us. We're going to continue to follow this story, of course, this evening. But as this thing unfolds across the country, you guys are doing, as my father would say, the Lord's work.
Bravo. Well, we should be so lucky. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. We will be back in a few from Code Launch Atlanta 2021.
Thank you.
And we are back, broadcasting live at Code Launch Atlanta 2021. Stone Payton, Lee Cantor here with you with the Business Radio X Network. Next up on today's broadcast, please join me in welcoming to the show with Morty, Miss Kitty Bogle Sherman, and Courtney Harmon. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Well, before we get too far into things, tell us about Morty.
Okay, Morty is a place for people to remember differently. We're building a new kind of home for your memories. So basically, the idea is that there are billions and billions of photos and videos uploaded to the cloud and stored on the cloud. There are trillions, actually. There are 28 billion new photos and videos uploaded to Google Photos a week. And so the experiences currently available to experience your memories then are either social media or printing a scrapbook. But essentially, the experiences are very limited. And so we're going to create an app where your digital presence can have a home forever.
And then what was the catalyst of the idea?
So the main catalyst really goes back actually about 7 years. When I first became a new mom and had a newborn, we lost an aunt that was really close to us.
I'm sorry.
And so it was at that time as I was going through a transition becoming a new mom that I had all these questions that I would have wanted to ask her. And there was no way to do that. And I just thought at that time, I don't want my daughter to be left with unanswered questions. So what are things I can do? You know, what would be a way to leave your legacy, an intentional legacy, you know, really be able to be that influence in your family's life, even if you aren't there anymore. And then as we explored that idea, it's expanded to pretty much just say, you know what, we have now thousands and thousands of photos that we take of our family and no way to really use them. They just sit in the cloud. So really the problem is the limited experiences. So we want to just completely flip that on its head, something people really can't even conceive of right now because it's different than what's out there, and really change that experience.
So now give me an example of how the experience comes to life. So I have a family member and it has... like, where does the context come in? Where does the threads that tie things together, where the stories are or the experiences that maybe it can combine different people together and then we were all here at this time or we all experienced this? Like, how does it all tie together?
Well, you are right on track with your question. So basically, you will be able to connect with your people. So anybody that you really actually want to share your life with. And you know, you think about it in the context or maybe contrasting with social media, you know, that typically tends to be more of a highlight reel.
Right.
And if mm-hmm. I don't think anyone here would say, oh, yes, my essence is really captured.
Right.
But, you know, so, you know, we're kind of thinking about that differently. So you connect with those who are closest to you. And then we are developing a system of classification, and that's really what's going to make our tools so unique. So right now what it can do, for example, is our grandfather, he uploaded a bunch of different jokes that he tells.
Right.
And so right now, our app's in the App Store. Right now what you can do is you can go in. The last, our virtual code launch in April, actually, the hackathon purpose was to implement voice activation technology into the app. So that has been done. And so you can pull Morty open and say, hey, Morty, fetch Papa, make me laugh, for instance. And then anything that's been categorized in that way then pulls up. And so right now the experience is a video pulls up and my grandfather tells a joke. But what we're building towards, and, you know, we're in the middle of fundraising, so anyone who's listening, what we're building, though, is an experience where you will go into what we're calling Fetch, and it's a completely different world. And that's where you are building basically a home that anyone in the future, your future descendants, your loved ones, whoever, can come find you. And that's where all everything you've uploaded will live. But you also will be setting, you know, who sees what and when. So you can send messages to, like, I want my child to see this on their 30th birthday or whatever. But
oh, fun.
So the possibilities are really endless, and it's an opportunity that just hasn't been tapped.
So now you have this idea, and then where does Code Launch fit into this?
Well, we had the idea, and then pre-pandemic, so February of 2020, we attended the memorial service for our great aunt in Little Rock, Arkansas. She was a very accomplished lady in the science and technology field. And so we had the good fortune to attend an event at the Repertory Theater there. And it was kind of like a celebration of her life. The play was Anne, about Anne Richards. We're from Texas. She's a really well-known former governor. And so in that process, we saw, you know, we heard from people eulogizing her. We saw videos people had made about her. We learned so much we didn't know about her, but also our family and kind of where we fit into that legacy. So it was very inspiring, but also re-kicked that idea of, now, if we're not everyone's going to have documentaries made about their lives, but every single person has a unique, interesting story. It needs to be put out there. So we were like, let's go. The pandemic hit. We have two small children each. We were homeschooling for the rest of that semester. And then, you know, summer 2020, we realized, who knows when COVID will be over. We don't know what that even looks like. Let's go. Courtney said, do you mind if I send this? I think you said, I sent an application to this Code Launch thing. And I was like, sounds cool. And then we ended up in Code Launch, and we were the alternate finalist out of, I think, like 160.
Congratulations.
So the idea worked, but they really were the catalyst for, like, getting us in a network, and then also
giving us feedback on the idea.
Yes. Kicked off evolution.
Providing a stage for us to collect market feedback, you know, really evolve our idea, which gave us the confidence to go and start getting funding, which we have gotten a significant amount.
Yeah?
Yep.
Wow.
So, and we're in the middle of finishing out that round. And the idea has really evolved to something that has a very clear vision for us right now. And we're excited now to just go execute on that.
So now, what compelled you to say, you know what, I'm going to go to Atlanta too? Like, what brought you here?
Well, I feel like we probably are giving you way too long of answers right now. But basically, my sister, Courtney, who's living in Florida, we're originally from Texas. I live in our hometown of Longview. Well, while all of this was kind of transpiring, she lived in Florida. So I would pick her up at the airport in Dallas. I would drive 2 hours, pick her up. We would go do all of this in Frisco.
So this is middle ground?
Well, you know what? She moved to Texas in June.
Okay.
So also used to live in Atlanta. We're southeast. We've been all over the place. So this really is a place we're familiar with. And we're just, this is such a great event. We've gotten so much out of our other two events with this program that we know this is the place to be.
So how have you seen the event evolve over the iterations you've got to be part of?
Well, we've only been involved during the COVID era. And I will just say that the production value, in my opinion, has always been very high. And they have just somehow managed to work around every challenge. I would say, you know, compared to the event we attended last November in DFW, from what I'm hearing, we're going to have like maybe double the attendance. And so I think that's a pretty nice step for them to take.
Now, any advice for entrepreneurs out there who maybe haven't heard about Code Launch or they're thinking about Code Launch?
I think that you should definitely get involved. Really, no matter what stage you're at, there's something for everybody here, as long as you know kind of what your goal is and what you're trying to get out of it. It's a great networking opportunity. And the people at Code Launch really care about this community of, you know, startup entrepreneurs. And it's really exciting. You can learn a lot from anybody that's here. And it's a great way to just evolve your product.
Now, any advice from a networking standpoint? How do you kind of squeeze the most juice out of an event like this where there is so much going on?
I think as an entrepreneur, you need to be really clear about what your goals are for the event. So, for example, in November, we knew we weren't going to be on stage. We're thinking, okay, well, who's going to come to our table? We barely even know how to talk about this idea properly. And so we wore costumes and kind of in theme with our branding at the time. But it really worked because I think, you know, Jason Taylor, I don't want to speak for him, but I think, you know, he really took that as, okay, these ladies will bring some value. So really, I think that's it. What can you bring and what are your goals? And for us, we knew our goals. We're not trying to get funding here. We're trying to get some market validation. We're trying to get to know people who can help us and we can connect with. And that's what we did. And then our goal, for example, tonight is we're ready to build a wait list. So we have an Oculus giveaway and that's what we're here to do. So I would say be specific about your goals and always, always think of how you can bring value.
And don't wing it. Show up here with intention and have a plan.
Correct.
And execute.
Yes, sir.
Now, if somebody wants to learn more about Morty, you mentioned the App Store. Is there a website as well? Like
yes.
If there's investors that want to kind of learn more, what's the best way to connect with you?
I would say either LinkedIn or Morty App, MortieApp.com.
Good stuff.
Did I miss anything, Courtney?
We're also on Instagram, although we're not posting regularly yet.
That is coming, guys. And it's going to be great.
And that's also at Morty App.
What an inspiring story. Thank you so much for visiting with us. Of course, we're going to visit your booth, but we're also going to continue to follow your story. And I think we touched on this in our last segment. Yes, someone will emerge this evening as the winner of the event. No one loses here. Anyone here is going to gain, particularly if they're of the right frame of mind, if they come in with a plan like you described. I can see why you've had the success that you've had so far. Congratulations on the momentum. Keep up the good work. One more time, points of contact if people want to reach out, have a conversation with you, write you a big check, buy your app, whatever you want them to do. Let's make sure we leave our listeners with that.
Okay, LinkedIn, Kitty Bogle Sherman, Courtney Harmon, or Morty App. And again, MortyApp.com has our contact information on it as well. We look forward to hearing from you. And thank you very much. You guys are just some more people we're meeting that have been incredibly kind and generous to us, and we really appreciate it.
Well, it's absolutely our pleasure. All right, we'll be back in a few with Code Launch Atlanta 2021. And we are back broadcasting live here at Code Launch Atlanta 2021. Lee Cantor, Stone Payton here with you. And the halls are absolutely teeming. We've got tables with food. We've got tables with drink. People are starting to move to the hall to hear the presentations. And now it is my distinct pleasure to introduce to the program with Lingo Plaza, Miss Lily Hagen. How are you?
Hi, I'm really well. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm excited to learn what you're up to. Tell us about Lingo Plaza. How are you serving folks?
So Lingo Plaza is a gamified and language and cultural platform for kids 4 to 12. So what we do is are immersed in what we call the Plaza experience. For 25 minutes, they're exposed into this creative space, and they get to learn a language. In this case, right now, we have Spanish. Through gamification, our characters, original audio content, but most importantly, they have a one-on-one experience with a native speaker tutor.
So what was the genesis of the idea?
So I'm actually from Colombia, so English is my second language. I originally speak Spanish, and I understand the benefit and also how overwhelming it can be to learn a second language, as well as I am also a mother. And I'm raising two bicultural kids, and, you know, Spanish happens to be the minority language. So I do understand the struggles and the lack of accessibility of language learning.
So now, what brings you to Code Launch?
I was lucky enough to meet the founder at one of the startups workshops that I was part of a while back, and I was excited to be invited and just present and just bring Lingo Plaza to the world.
So what was it like kind of having an idea, then taking it, you know, and learning how to pitch and do all this stuff, you know, because that's a different world for most people.
100%. I mean, you're talking about to someone who I consider myself a very creative person. I'm a go-getter. And I had the pain. I thought, you know what? This worked. Why not? Let's go for it. Obviously, not knowing everything that... the learning journey of, you know, of a startup and entrepreneurship. So it's been a learning journey, but it's a very exciting, and it's something that I'm able to provide to my audience as well. You know, that's the biggest thing. People that have my pain are able to come back and say, oh my gosh, I love what you're doing. My kids loving it. So that's the rewarding part of all this.
So how did you learn how to code? Like, where are you a coder?
I am not the technical founder. I would say I'm very tech savvy, but I am not the technical founder. I had some developers. I would say I bring the creative part.
That's a great line. I'm going to start saying that at work in our business. I am not a technical founder. So go talk to someone else.
So how did you even find a technical founder to do kind of the, what you envisioned?
So that's a funny question, because that's what I say, I'm a go-getter. And I just happened to have an idea, and I knew people from Colombia, and I looked for agencies, the best of them, and they happened to, you know, grasp my idea from the name to branding to, you know, from the very beginning, and they just knew what I wanted.
Wow, so you were able, that's pretty fortunate to be able to partner with somebody that early on in the idea process.
Yes, 100%. I am very lucky. Now that I understand all the process, I do understand how lucky it was to get this agency.
So you have an agency to work with that's taking your idea and bringing it to life. What stage are you at? Do you have a beta? Like, where are you at in the product development?
So we launched our MVP in January, and we had our first pain cohort for the last few months. Now we're in the process of pretty much scaling it and just targeting our audience after all the feedback that we got, and, you know, being in constant communication with the audience that we already have.
So what was it like the first time that some stranger came to the app and then signed on and started using it? You must have been so excited.
Oh my gosh, yes. It was really exciting. I had actually an influencer who started following us, and that's how we got our first customers. And I'm going to tell you that Stripe notification was the most exciting, intimidating notification I've ever had. So I still remember where I was at.
Right. So you probably got like tears and goosebumps, right? That's that, and everything's real now.
Yes, it becomes very real. It was exciting and nerve-wracking at the same time, you know, having to show off your what you've been working for the, and this is it, like, this is what, you know, it's gonna work or not, I guess,
right? So then how did it how'd you start kind of having conversations with investors and getting ready to, you know, do the work to scale it and to get more funding and things like that?
So we're actually, we have been bootstrapping at the moment, and we're getting ready to fundraise. We wanted to try it out first after we learn from our audience. But, you know, I've been networking for the longest time. Once I knew that was very vital, I started doing it and just started talking. Even though I'm not fundraising at the moment, you know, it's important to have those relationships.
Right.
So to tell you the truth, Clubhouse has been a big one for me.
Really?
Yes.
So you're really leveraging that platform to get in front of the right people, to at least get them a chance to sample it and see it in action?
100%. In fact, the workshop that I was part of, and that's how I met Jason, I heard of it through Clubhouse, and he was he was one of the speakers, and, you know, now I'm here. So yes, it definitely works.
So now, are you here from Atlanta, or are you from somewhere else?
I reside in Atlanta, yes.
So you're from Atlanta, and then you found Jason just kind of randomly on the internet in Clubhouse, and then you decided to come to the event, and you have a table. Are you one of the finalists?
So no, I'm not a part of the finalists. So what we actually find someone else. It's called Camp Events, and then Jason was one of the speakers for that workshop for startups, and he was able to introduce, you know, this accelerator and, you know, the amazing event. So they contacted me, and, you know, they were going to be here. So I was, last week I was able to get the email, and, you know, I'll say, why not? I'm going to be there.
So now what are you looking to get out of Code Launch here tonight?
Well, my biggest goal is to be able to network. And, you know, I've been able to get in contact with some schools, actually. One of the owners from One Per School here in Atlanta. So that was, you know, that was amazing. Yeah. And some people have stopped by my booth and just asked questions. So, you know, the most exposure that you can get, the better it is, especially at this stage.
So now the event's getting ready to start. If somebody wants to learn more about what you're up to, what's the website? What's the best way to connect with you?
100%. So my website's lingoplaza.com.
Lingoplaza.com. And then is there app available at the app store, or where are you at from that standpoint?
So we currently have a web app at the moment, looking into launching between, I say, the next week or so, and just go live with our mobile and tablet app.
And then, so is the website the best way to connect, or are you on other social platforms?
Yes, but that is a website. You guys can find me on LinkedIn or Instagram. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Clubhouse. I'm pretty much every social media platform.
All right, well, we're going to turn you loose. Let's go hear some pitches. We'll be back in a few with Code Launch Atlanta 2021. Welcome to Code Launch Atlanta 2021, broadcasting live here from the beautiful Legacy Theater at this Phase. Was that what this place is called?
Phase Events
out here in Alpharetta. We've already made some new friends, caught up with some old ones. Folks are starting to file into the theater. We don't want to keep these two young gentlemen too long, but we just had to visit with them. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast with 808 Wave, Abby and Beck. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you so much for having us today. We really appreciate it.
Well, we're excited to learn what you're up to. Tell us about 808 Wave. How are you serving folks?
Yeah, so 808 Wave is a platform where musicians can basically find recording studios in their area and book or request studio time. So initially we saw that the problem was musicians, they weren't really able to find the right studio where they can make their music and make their music career. So this is why we created the app, basically.
So you're both Georgia Tech students right now?
Yes, we're both fourth-year undergraduate students, CS students.
So how did you guys connect together? Were you friends? Like, when are you both musicians? Like, did you have this problem? Like, what's the genesis of the idea?
So Beck's originally from Boston, before Georgia Tech, and I'm originally from Chicago. And fortunately, we were able to connect through... We lived in the same dorm freshman year, so we were able to connect that way. And we just clicked on the spot, and we just... went through like 6-7 different ideas freshman year, and we just, at the end of the year, we just finalized this idea. We're like, okay, this is the one we're going to work on for like the next, you know, rest of our life, basically.
So were you musicians, or you just felt that musicians would have this challenge?
Yeah, so we just saw like that musicians had this this problem. We were just thinking like, what are some big problems, and we just saw that this was an issue. But you know, we're not like producers or artists like per se ourselves, but you know, I played a couple instruments.
Yep, and Abby was an executive producer for Cato on the Track, and I worked at the radio station here at Tech.
And okay, so you were a little familiar with kind of the music industry, and you knew that this could be a problem. People told you, hey, it's hard to find studio time, or I can't get the right studio for what I need. So people were voicing that challenge to you.
Yes, definitely.
And then, okay, so now you have this concept. What were the first steps to kind of validate this?
So the first step was to come up with like different hypotheses and to really go out in the community and just talk to customers and see like if they actually have this problem. And, you know, we validated all our hypotheses, and they're like, okay, yeah, I have, you know, where they were coming to us to see, okay, what studios can I book? You know, what are the right engineers for me to work with? And, you know, at one point it became so much like, okay, we have to build an app to where they can do this themselves and they can, you know, see everything about that studio and then book it themselves as well.
Do you hear the wisdom in this, what this guy's saying? I know people who are 55, 60 years old who skip this whole step of customer discovery, idea validation, getting some real data from the marketplace. And here are these two young men. That's the first thing you decided to do. Did you get some direction to do that, or did that just come to you instinctively?
We definitely got some direction. So being at Georgia Tech, there's a great startup culture at Georgia Tech that they've been developing for so many years. If you've heard of it, the CreateX program at Georgia Tech. So we went through like startup lab, idea to prototype, and then the final stage. Like that's the first summer that we did this company. We actually got accepted into the accelerator that CreateX had. So a lot of the coaches, a lot of the mentors at Georgia Tech, they really helped us really get that initial customer discovery phase off the ground, which has really helped us with the foundation of our business.
Now, in any of these marketplace apps, it's a chicken and egg. You need to have all of the studios in there and you have to have the users in there. How did you go about kind of building out the marketplace?
That's a great question. So right now we're about 25 studios and about 1,000 customers in. And in the past, we've held studio sessions at Patchwork, and we've done events at several different studios. So that was our initial core base, building our brand. And now we're ready to launch it publicly.
So now, how does the monetization, who pays, or do you get a piece of any transaction that occurs? Like, what's the monetization?
So right now, the way it works is we have a free model and a premium model on the studio side. So, for example, you get premium features of the studio, how many rooms you can list, and that ranges from $50 to $200 a month.
And so that's how you plan to monetize this, through the studios?
Yes, with a subscription process as well.
So it's a place for them to promote the studio so they can fill unused time?
Yes, so we'll have advanced booking management software that they could use to find and manage their clients as well.
And so then the client can book the time and pay right there on the app?
Yes. So like some studios, they prefer to pre-screen. So they'll be able to funnel in requests, and then they'll be like, okay, we want this client or we don't want this client. And then the client can essentially pay for the booking right there.
So what do you need more of right now?
We don't believe there's any obstacles stopping us from going to like our next steps. Right now we're looking to build an advisory team. That's our next step. And then just building onto the more features that address the problems that the studios have. And then at that point, it's just about marketing and sales.
So now, how did you kind of arrive at the price point for the studios?
That's something we're still working on, but we've seen what really provides value, and we're really trying to mimic what's really going to get the best out of a studio and what they need.
Because once the person books at the studio, that person could be a client for a long time.
Exactly, a lifetime customer.
So do you have an idea of what that value is worth to a studio?
We just had a customer book at EOA Digital, and he was a happy returning customer. And let's just say an average booking can be anywhere between $200 to $1,000. And you can book maybe 5-20 times a year.
Right. So that starts adding up. And if you're the place where that started, I hope you're getting a piece of that action.
Absolutely.
So are you looking for funding right now, or this thing, you're kind of bootstrapping this until you get a few more clients?
So currently we're looking to, before we go to like an actual seed or pre-seed or series A round, we're looking to build a advisory team of up to 5 advisors, and then utilizing that leverage that we have to get possibly a higher valuation or more money when we do a pre-seed or seed round.
Now, are you finding that that's the case, or are you hearing that in the startup ecosystem? Because there was a time where the people were trying to get funding almost immediately, and now it seems like people are trying to bootstrap and kind of get as much runway as possible before they start taking funding so they don't dilute as much. Are you finding that to be the case?
I think ownership has become a really big thing the last couple of years with startups and with startup founders. And I think that they want to have as much leverage as possible before and have as much product market fit as well before actually going and getting that funding.
Right. So then it's kind of more on the startup to start selling some stuff.
Yes.
Now, how good is Georgia Tech at teaching you how to sell?
It's great. We have a great team of different advisors and staff at Georgia Tech who really nail down the process of customer discovery. One of the biggest things we're working on is really trying to get that product market fit, really validate if it's a real problem and solve their needs.
And then how many studios are there, I guess, in the world, right? This thing's for the world. It's not just for Atlanta or America.
So according to like U.S. Census, there's roughly 1,700 to 2,000 studios, recording studios in America. And then in the world, we estimate to be about 10,000. But that doesn't really include like home studios,
right,
which is another aspect to it as well.
Good stuff. Well, congratulations on all the success. If somebody wants to check out the site or app, what's the best coordinates to do that?
You can find us on Instagram at the 808 Wave. and the website is 808.bio.
Good stuff. All right.
Thank you so much.
We'll be back in a few from Code Launch Atlanta 2021. And we are back with Code Launch Atlanta 2021, broadcasting live. Lee Cantor, Stone Payton here with you with the Business Radio X Network. Next up on today's show, please join me in welcoming to the broadcast with Hitsnag.com, Mr. Aiden Pratt. Welcome to the show, man.
Glad to be here.
Well, I'm excited to learn what you're up to. Tell us about Hitsnag.
So Hitsnag basically lets your productivity tools not be a drag. So all you need to, well, you use email a lot, right? Like, you're always in and out. So a lot of people have to deal with, productivity tools such as Notion, Trello, Google Docs, and they're dealing with support tickets, action items that just pop up in their email. And we just let you put that data where it needs to be for like a team, or, you know, you need to go back to it later and get through all these to-dos.
So what was the genesis of the idea?
I just email myself a lot.
So you email yourself a lot and you're like, I wish this would just go in the appropriate bucket.
Just go to the right spot.
So then you created code that does that automatically? That was...
Yes, sir.
And then are you the coder, or do you have a tech person on the team?
So there were originally two founders, and now he's going to Stanford, but now I'm manning the project. So I was originally CEO, and I still am CEO.
So now what stage are you at? Is this thing out there in the wild, or are you still testing it?
So it's actually out there in the wild, and you can use it today. It's free at hitsnag.com, and we have 1,000 people using it as we speak. I think it's about 1,300.
Now, what's the monetization behind it?
So currently we have a couple paid users, and we're trying to increase engagement and see what our free users like the most, and then eventually monetize those features by the end of the year.
Now, was this the first app you've ever created?
No, not by a long shot. I've been doing apps since I was 9. I was crazy addicted to this stuff.
So then how did you kind of decide when to bail on one and move on to the next one?
So it really depended on how much I learned. So my first company, I slowly realized it wasn't solving a market need. Then the second one, I was like, the monetization problem, like all of these things kind of confusing. And then this one, it just depends on how much I learn and like the viability. So say I had a Chrome extension, right? There was one called Pop Hurdle. It helped you deal with, all of these pop-ups that happened. It was basically a privacy-based version of it. There was one called Popper Blocker that took data like from users. Like, they took keystrokes. So it was very, very confusing to navigate that space, and some users didn't know that their data was compromised in that process. So Pop Hurdle was to solve that. Eventually, I decided to move on to Hitsnag because it seemed like it had a greater market opportunity.
So now everything you're doing is this to like find the lottery ticket winner that this makes you millions of dollars?
No, it's really to be useful to people. So I like being useful. I really, really like making things people want. Ever since a little kid, I've just built things that like help solve the problems that I had myself. So I'm really, really looking into building something that can go big, but also just being able to go towards something that drives to product market fit.
So now, when you were deciding where to go to school, why'd you pick Georgia Tech?
Oh, it was my first choice, like hands down. So I grew up with tech. Apparently one of my friends hit me up and asked if I got in from fourth grade. And I'm like, wow, I really planned back then to now. I did not realize that. So it was a stressful senior year. But honestly, I love this place for the startup energy. You know, Chris Klaus, he's a legend. All these startups like Stored, Gimme Vending, like all of these places, like I've met some of these founders and they are like, it's exactly where I want to be. Like, startups really help me explore every facet of like the way things work. And that's just how I drive my knowledge.
So now, any advice for young people out there who maybe they thought, I'm going to get a real job, but they decided, they're on the fence about entrepreneurship because, and it's an eat what you kill world as an entrepreneur.
Oh, yeah. So first things first, I would usually just say, if you're in college or you're young, you have plenty of time. Like, usually people are worried about, oh, I got to go get that internship, or, oh, I got to go get this specific job. But there was one guy who's a senior at Tech who I'm literally trying to convince as we speak to start his own startup and come to the fellowship program. I was in this program called the Startup Exchange Fellowship, helped me launch Hitsnag almost 7 months ago. Very nice people. I was the only high schooler in that program, me and my co-founder. It was for college only, college students at Georgia Tech. And yeah, I'm just like, let's test that. I'm just going to knock on the door, say hi. I knew the guy in charge of the club. I'm like, I love this place. Like, and he's like, I don't know, man, but go talk to this guy. And then I went to talk to that guy. And then I went to another guy. And then somehow here we are, and we actually won the program. So for any young founder, just remember that anything is possible. Like, I know it seems so cliche, but honestly, just do the things you care about and just remove the word can't from your vocabulary, and you will actually get to where you want to go.
So now what brings you to Code Launch?
A bus. We just got here. We just got on this bus. I tried to convince my roomie, his name's Arvin, shouts to Arvin. I met this legend over here. He's just standing over there. But helping other Georgia Tech students find entrepreneurship is a huge thing, and also networking, because my co-founder just dropped because he's headed to Stanford from Hitsnag. So right now I'm just like looking around for, other co-founders, really just getting to know the ecosystem of Minute Tech. I've known it for many years, but I was there on campus for like 8 years, just, walking around startups, and they're like, by the way, do you want to go here for college? I'm like, heck yeah. So, now here we are, and just chilling here and sitting with you guys. This is awesome, by the way.
So now at Code Launch, what's your objective to get the most out of this event?
Honestly, just look around and have fun. There's some tech students that I'm with trying to build some friendships, and then also look at, the Alpharetta tech scene. A little bit of that. I've always been interested. I was actually the youngest member at the Atlanta Tech Village for a while. I pitched, and it's you've grown when you look back and cringe at what you've done sometimes. First pitch at the Atlanta Tech Village, really did not know what I was doing. I was very quiet about it, my idea, safeguarding it. And I'm like, yeah, no, now let's fix that and actually be open. Cause then no one told me that, I need my baby to be bullied. I need to know what's wrong with it. Is this actually a hair and fire problem? So, just getting up here, seeing what the tech scene is like up here, seeing awesome things like what you guys are doing.
So now if somebody wants to learn more about Hitsnag, what's the best way?
Hitsnag.com. That's HitSnag.com. Basically, it's free right now. Feel free to go and just sign up yourselves if you use any of that stuff.
Well, thanks for joining us, man. Keep up the good work.
Of course.
All right. We'll be back in a few with Code Launch Atlanta 2021. And we are back, broadcasting live from Code Launch Atlanta 2021 from the beautiful Legacy Theater out here in Alpharetta. We have had some marvelous conversations, and we've had some terrific food. We had an opportunity just a few moments ago to meet this gentleman, and we just had to get him on air. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast with Fuel Coffee Cafe, Mr. Dave Thompson. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on.
So how did you kind of hear about Code Launch?
So Scott McMichael actually is a regular at Fuel Coffee Cafe, and him and I got to chatting one day, and he said, hey, man, we're going to have a cool hackathon come to Alpharetta. You want to be a part of it? And I jumped in with both feet with him, and him and I started discussing what it would look like and what he wanted to see out of us. And we were able to take some of our menu items and kind of evolve them into what he was looking for some small bites, but still held true to the Fuel Coffee menu.
So Fuel Coffee is an actual cafe here in Alpharetta, and do you do any other catering, or this kind of a special event? You do some catering as well?
Yeah, so we do breakfast and lunch all day in the shop, and we take our menu and we kind of evolve it into a 8 to 10, 12 to 15, 15 to 20 person catering packs, where we can accommodate coffee and pastries, coffee and breakfast, coffee and lunch, however you'd like us to.
So you can do any event time is... That's irrelevant. You have a service that can accommodate that.
Yeah. Yep. We can do just about anything you're looking for, whether in the cafe or in your residence or business.
Now, talk about the history of the cafe. I mean, you decided to do this during an interesting time, a chaotic time. And then it sounds like you're really making a good go at this. Things are pretty rocking and rolling.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been in the restaurant industry a little over 20 years. And through the pandemic, struggled just like most people did. The frustrations of some of the things that, you know, corporations were doing during the pandemic kind of got my wife and I thinking about what we could do as an independent coffee shop. So we decided that we were going to, you know, throw our hat in the ring and get together. And we created a menu, and Angela did some great work with reaching out to some local roasters. And we got a blend of coffee that we use exclusively in the shop. And we decided to give it a go March of this year, and things have been going pretty well for us, and we're excited. We got a great community in Alpharetta, and we're happy to be a part of it.
So now, what's it like when you're the entrepreneur, and a lot of the folks here at Code Launch are entrepreneurs trying to figure things out? How do you take kind of a coffee shop concept and then say, okay, how can we squeeze the most juice out of this? Where are the opportunities? How did you kind of go about kind of the ideation of this? You know, coffee is everywhere, but it's also wherever it is, you want to make it special and stand out.
Yeah, 100%. So honestly, a lot of it's trial and error, but the real root of the business is taking care of people. So, you know, you have to have a good product. If you put a good product out there, people will come and they'll find it. But the experience that people want to have, whether it's in a coffee shop or a restaurant or whatever it may be, the experience is going to bring someone back. So if you can create an atmosphere that someone, you know, the welcoming greet, making sure that a guest feels like they're walking into a family member's house, taking care of them. You know, we have quite a few regulars, even in the 5 months that we've been open, that have been coming back, getting to know them, getting to learn about them and their families and, you know, their children and what they have going on in their lives, just creating that experience. But, you know, that's the biggest part. You know, if you can create an experience for someone and you have something good to offer them as well, that's how you build a good brand right there.
So now, how did kind of the taste and flavor component come in? You mentioned you have a lot of experience in the, you know, industry, but how did you kind of land on, okay, this is the signature fuel taste, and this is kind of the products and the kind of look and feel of what we're going
to
be?
So we drank a lot of coffee. My wife and I, we worked with our roaster to find the right blend. And there's a wide spectrum of coffee that you can have out there, mediums and darks and different types of blends and different types of roasts. And even the beans, you know, are make a huge difference in what the coffee is going to taste like. So it was, again, a lot of trial and error. We tasted a lot of coffee. Angela did an amazing job working with our roaster. We have a medium to dark roast blend. It's about a 60-40 blend. And she worked with him and add a little of this, take a little of this away, make sure it's like this. And, you know, she explained what she wanted, and they both got to where it is now. And it was probably the toughest part of opening the business, was deciding on the coffee. And, you know, you want to have something that you like in there, but you also want to have something that resonates with everyone else.
And then what about the menu?
The menu's all me. I'm a foodie. I love food. I love creating with food. And, you know, just experiences. A lot of the things that are on our menu are things that I love, but also that translate well. We actually put an avocado toast on the menu, and I really had no idea what avocado toast was. But I tried sampling some. I did a few different things, and I grew to love it. So it's just, you know, it's knowing what is relevant and what is good. And we got a good combination of both out there.
So now you've said it's only been 5 or 6 months now. Is it going as planned? Is this is it as rewarding as you anticipated? Like what's it been like for you?
It's actually been a little bit better than expected. You know, coming off the back end of COVID and the uncertainty of what that brings, and even the uncertainty of what is to come. Like I said, the community has been very welcoming for us, and we have exceeded our expectations to this point. So, you know, we're looking forward to the next 5 months and hopefully the next 5 years, and hopefully a few more shops down the road as well.
So now, is the goal to ultimately franchise, or is it always going to be owner-operated? What are you looking at as kind of the roadmap?
So we really haven't looked that far into the future. I know I'd like to get to 10 cafes owner-operated. And, you know, if we're at 10, I don't know how much I can do more than that by myself. So at that point, it's a possibility to look into the franchising aspect or maybe even, you know, a different avenue at that point. But I know I can handle 10. In previous lives, I've had multi-unit operator experience and I've gotten up to as many as 16 restaurants at one time. And that was way too much. But I know 10 is a good solid number, a manageable number. So when I get to 10, I'll probably have a different answer for you. But right now it's going to be owner operated.
And then where is this location?
So we're in Alpharetta. We're just south of Windward Parkway on Main Street. We're located at 800 North Main, and we're in Suite 110. We are directly next to Campagna Italian Restaurant.
And then the website?
Is fuelatl.com.
And can you buy the coffee online, or is it only the only place to get it is if you physically go in?
No, you can buy online, and we'll ship beans to you. And you can also order online ahead and come pick up in the shop at fuelatl.com.
Well, I love it, man. Keep up the good work. We're going to continue to follow this story. And we have a studio here in Alpharetta, not just down the street on Windward from him, inside a Renaissance Bank. And so
I know where that is.
Yeah, so we visit there from time to time. So we're going to continue to follow your story. It's what an exciting time for you, man.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Well, we sure appreciate you joining us. One more time, points of contact, website, email, whatever you think is appropriate.
So it's fuelatl.com. You can email me personally at dave@fuelatl.com, or you can call the shop 678-861-6910. So love to hear you, and please give us a call, and we'll take great care of you.
You got it, man. All right, we'll be back in a few from Code Launch Atlanta 2021. And we are back, broadcasting live from Code Launch Atlanta 2021. Stone Payton Lee Cantor here with you. Next up on the broadcast today, please join me in welcoming to the show with Alpharetta Chamber, Miss Deborah Lanham. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
We are doing well. What brings you to Code Launch?
Well, this was a dream. This was an idea presented to me back in the beginning of this year, as a possibility that Code Launch would be expanding and coming into the Atlanta market. And because I'm the Alpharetta Chamber of Commerce, obviously said, let us host you in Alpharetta. So we started, and that would be improving Scott McMichael, who's a member of our chamber and just been a great partner, started having those conversations. And now it's a reality here today. We have spent lots of months planning and helping promote, and we're just grateful to be a community partner. And that's what I'm doing here tonight.
Now, talk about, since Code Launch is, they're based in Texas, but it's a national event, it's going all over the country. Why don't you let the folks know how Alpharetta is as a tech hub itself? Forget about Atlanta. I know we're near Atlanta, but Alpharetta stands alone, and it would be a large community if Atlanta wasn't even here.
Oh, absolutely. With the incubator here, Tech Alpharetta, and they are well on their way and have the support of the city of Alpharetta. We have been just exploding as a tech community. And back when David Belisle was the mayor of the city, he had a dream about bringing these tech leaders together and created this coalition or a commission. And that's what we now enjoy as Tech Alpharetta, led by Karen Cashin. So, with that work, we are having more attention and focus on our startups as they're incubating right here in Alpharetta. And the goal is to keep those businesses and that innovation right here in our town.
And there's a lot of kind of tech clusters in technology in Alpharetta specifically, like healthcare IT is a big one here. Is there any other ones that we should be aware of types of companies within technology that are kind of flourishing here in Alpharetta?
Well, yes, healthcare, and then also the financial piece where you have a lot of transactional, you know, with the payment processing right here. So that's another big area in terms of that technology. In fact, I think, don't quote me, but 72% of the credit card transactions come through Atlanta, and a good chunk of that's right up out of Alpharetta. So that's another part of it. And then you see these startup businesses, definitely digital technology marketing. We're seeing, in fact, some of those contestants in the Code Launch that we've witnessed today are in that field, and the creatives are really exploding with innovation and creativity. So love seeing some of that. We've enjoyed cybersecurity and watching and that particular piece of the technology in terms of educating our community. That's been huge in the last few years, but interesting to watch it move into other categories, like I mentioned, the marketing and creative.
Now, how does the chamber really kind of help support these startups? You mentioned Tech Alpharetta. What are some of the things that are happening, the events that are happening in and around the city to help kind of these entrepreneurs get their show on the road?
Well, as it impacts the Chamber of Commerce and our work, our focus definitely is to help drive the economy. And to do that, you have to make sure that your businesses are equipped. And so a lot of these startups do need the support of an organization like Tuck Alpharetta or a Chamber of Commerce, where we have access to tools and resources. And I think of SCORE and the SBDC and SBA right here, you know, arms of the SBA, but also those homegrown organizations that just have a passion to help and coach for free. And then, you know, once they begin to, you know, provide that kind of coaching, then can introduce these small companies to greater opportunity to, you know, to actually engage in coaching that they would pay for. But it's an ecosystem, and it's here to support, especially coming out of the Chamber of Commerce. That's what we like to teach our businesses and our members, is to be collaborative and to do business with one another. And in that engagement, they find where they can actually help one another too. And so I would say through then the different and various events Chambers of Commerce like ours put on, they're designed not only to educate, but to bring in that connecting point. And beyond that, then just those faces you meet that are literally your resource, your tool that will help improve your business.
It must be such rewarding work to see these kind of relationships flourish and to see entrepreneurs come together in ways that they couldn't without the help of the chamber connecting them.
Oh, it is. And it's why I've been doing this for almost 10 years. I love the work. And it is something where you feel that passion that to be able to connect two people and to see them have these great testimonies of work accomplished. Yes, that revenue that comes in as a result of two companies working together. I love that as well. And that's why I felt like really we have a mission and we know what our specific work is and where we fit in our lane as a Chamber of Commerce. And that is to help drive the economy, to help our small businesses and to give them those resources and tools. But I also love like what has happened here today, where we have that partnership. That's our passion, is partnering up with companies like Improving, where we can then get a cold launch national event to come to Alpharetta. Yes, they're in Atlanta, but we got them to come up here to Alpharetta and allow us to host them. So what a great turnout tonight, too. What a wonderful large audience. We are so happy to see.
Yeah, it must be great to see all these kind of folks coming out and celebrating technology, celebrating Code Launch. And really, this event couldn't be done without the support of folks like you.
Well, we're happy to be a part of that. So it's great to be here. And again, Improving has done a wonderful job of engaging, including us, and allowing us to get together and brainstorm. But yeah, Code Launch has been out there and in Texas, and it looks like they're going to have a robust schedule going forward. So I'm excited to watch that.
Now, for people that want to connect with you and join the chamber or maybe check out some of the events, what's the best website to do that with?
Well, we're at alpharettachamber.com. Pretty easy. But also reach out to me directly if you'd like to. Deborah, D-E-B-O-R-A-H at alpharettachamber.com. And I am happy to have a conversation with you and learn what you're doing and how we as a chamber could come around and support you.
Well, Deborah Lanham with Alpharetta Chamber, thank you so much for joining us. Please keep up the good work. Thank you for your service. Thank you for everything that you and your team are doing. We just think the world of your work. We want to continue to try to support you in any way we can. And you've got some big fans over here at the Business Radio X Network, and I'm sure within the Code Launch system as well.
Well, let me just say that I am a very big fan of Business Radio X. So thank you for inviting me to speak with you tonight.
It is absolutely our pleasure. All right, we'll be back in a few from Code Launch Atlanta 2021. Welcome back to Code Launch Atlanta 2021. We are broadcasting live from the beautiful Legacy Theater. And Lee, this is the one we've been waiting for, man. We've got the winners from the contest. Please join me in welcoming to the show with Eva Helt, Sara Vias, and Carl Hanna Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you. Thank you. So excited to be here. So excited to be holding a champion's belt.
That's right. Hey, they said everybody's a winner, but you're the only one that gets to bring home the belt. So I think you're the real winners.
You got it. You know, I will tell that to the other folks.
So tell us about Eva Health.
Well, so Eva Health, you know, it's a health tech startup. We're based here in Atlanta, and our mission is really to help family caregivers, like you or me, you know, caring for a parent, right? So we're using technology to really, you know, help you throughout the care journey, right? Not only to care for your loved one, but also yourself, right? So you want to make sure that you know, you're also healthy, right? So that's a primary focus for us. And we've been at this journey for the last, you know, 2 years, you know, building this. And so, you know, excited to get a win today. You know, so Ravi's right there with me, you know, my partner in crime. So super excited.
So now tell us about how the idea came about. What was the kind of impetus to get you thinking along these lines that you wanted to serve the caregivers? And I believe dementia is one of the areas you kind of started in.
Mm-hmm. So dementia is, you know, it's a focus for us. You know, it's a starting point, right? And the question you ask is about caregivers. What was our why? We're also caregivers. We're also, you know, cared for our parents, or caring for, and some of us, for the parents that are still alive, right? So, and we've been in the healthcare industry. We're consultants, you know, for two of the big, or three of the big companies, right? And crisscrossed the nation, you know, several times over. And we've seen the needs. We've seen, you know, when the family leaves the clinic, the hospital, they're by themselves to figure out what they need to do on a daily basis. So not only we've seen it from a professional landscape, what was the challenge, we also have experienced it as well.
So then what is your solution? Is it a platform for the caregivers to go and get other resources? Is it a place for them to commiserate amongst themselves as a support group? Like what's happening on the platform?
I think you're checking a lot of those boxes right there, right? It's I want to say everything, right? But of course, you know, we're our focus, right? But so it's essentially a platform, like you say, right? That's bringing together not only information, that bringing to the caregivers not only information that they need on a daily basis, but also to technology, but also bringing support from their own community that can help them. So if it's not about just, hey, you know, I need to find someone, which is important too, to share your experience. But a lot of times, if you're caring for someone, you need the help. Right, we need the help right now. We want to make sure that the folks that you're connecting with can help you, right? And so that's where Eva comes in and doing that search for you at the community level, so you don't have to do it, right? And you can spend the time caring for your loved one, but also your yourself.
Well, caregivers, sometimes you need help, but sometimes you need a helper,
mm-hmm.
and you need a place that you can go to find that trusted resource. And to protect yourself, because there's a lot of bad actors out there, and somebody has to kind of vet to make sure they are who they say they are.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. And, you know, Eva will be doing that. We'll do that for you, right? We'll be vetting, you know, we'll be grabbing the resources in the community, and also the information that you have access. So now if you go on Google search and say, hey, you know, I need someone to help, right? You're going to have several different type of result that come in, right?
Right, and just because someone's good at SEO and can show up,
that's right.
Doesn't mean they're the best caregiver.
Good, that's right. Yeah, good point. Right, and if you are in Bankhead, right, your needs are very different from someone in Buckhead.
Right,
right. So you want to make sure. Yeah, I mean, with the Eva platform is looking at what are some of the needs that someone in Buckhead or Bankhead has, let's stick on Bankhead, and bring those for resources to that, right? So I'm thinking Bankhead, I'm thinking sometimes it's a food desert, right? What are some of the volunteer organization, community organization that can come in and support without you as a caregiver have to figure it out, because you're already too busy, you know, caring for that loved one.
Now you
Our intent is to start with Eva, and then, like you know, Eva will guide you forever throughout the entire journey.
So it's starting, though, with dementia caregivers.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. And then now you mentioned Bankhead to Buckhead. So how do you target those kind of underserved areas where there are less resources? Mm-hmm. Because by definition, there's less resources. Mm-hmm. So how are you going in there to encourage other maybe nonprofits to cater to that area, to show them there's opportunity here to serve? How are you kind of creating that community?
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of coordination, you know, that needs to happen. So I'm originally from Haiti, right? So we are the countries of NGOs. And if you look at the news, and Haiti is the worst, you know, the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, right? We have like the most NGOs, non-government organization, per capita anywhere in the world. And we, you know, when you look at it, it's like, okay, what's going on? And one of the reasons, like in the case of Haiti, is coordination. Folks are trying to do the same thing, right? Where right. they can come in and work together. And EVA, right, through our platform, is to bring all these desperate or disparate resources, bring into one platform and be able to effectively support, you know, someone in Bankhead.
So how do you kind of meld that where it takes a human kind of curator with technology and scaling? Mm-hmm.
The solution has to be customized for, that's why, you know, I mentioned Buckhead and Bankhead, the needs are different, right? And so what it's looking at that community of Bankhead and figure out what are the resources, you know, what are, and how do you interact with the folks there? Right, I'm thinking I'm African American. Right, if I need guidance, I go to my faith leaders. If I need support, I go to my faith leaders. Right, so the African American approach to accessing information is different from, you know, whether you're white, whether you're Latinx. Right, so having that flavor and not having a one-stop, one size fits all approach, that's what's differentiating us. It's gonna continue to be a differentiator for us.
So now, what compelled you to get involved with Code Launch? What brought you here to this event?
Well, you know, so I'm gonna let you speak to after the question, but let me take that on, right? So because I'm sure the listeners want to hear from you as well. So Code Launch, you know, I mean, as a startup, you're knocking on doors, right? Trying to find, you know, folks that can help, and sometimes like anything, you know, you may find the best, you know, help. And Code Launch, we got connected to a friend of ours. Right, who told us, hey, you know, there is this great, you know, initiative to Code Launch that's helping startups just like you, right? And by the way, the deadline is this evening in 3 hours. So I'm scrambling. I'm like, okay, this is great, right? I'm tired. It's already like 10 p.m. I'm tired. And I'm like, oh man, but if I don't do it, right? You know, it's like, well, you didn't need help, right? I offered help. So trying to put the information in the system, things were not working, right? I'm texting, I'm emailing, I'm on Facebook, on Instagram, trying to reach someone. And finally, I think it was probably midnight, they're like, oh yeah, we have a problem. Turn it in tomorrow, right? So I had a few hours, send it tomorrow, and we started the journey. I mean, just like, you know, quarterfinals, semifinals to the finals, and now we're a champion.
So now, any advice for folks about Code Launch, how to get the most out of it?
Oh, man, those folks at Code Launch have been, I'll say one last thing, I'll stop. I mean, those things at Code Launch have been, folks at Code Launch Improving Atlanta have been fantastic. You know, a lot of times, you know, we're looking for help, you know, folks are always like, okay, well, how much of the company are you going to give me, right? Those folks are like, well, we don't need anything, right? We just want to help you. And you're like, is that true? Right? Yeah. Is that true? Is that after like 2 days, you're going to be like, well, let's talk paper, right? And so, I mean, the work, the dedication that they have, and, you know, I'm like, wow, we're not, it's just, you know, and they rally behind our idea, right? And they gave everything that they got, and we're able to do a successful demo. Proud of it, and I mean, the team is excited as much as us.
And one thing that really resonates is like Code Launch is also based on this foundation of community, kind of creating this new startup and venture community in Atlanta in this case, and really making it thriving, bringing everyone together to actually push it forward. And that's something that is like a shared value, because that's what we are trying to do as well when it comes to Alzheimer's as a starting point and healthcare in general, is bring them together.
Well, it sounds fully aligned with your mission of creating community. Mm-hmm. It sounds like they're really walking the walk when it comes to this. Yeah, there's a lot of events out there, you know.
Yeah.
And so this one is one of the good ones in terms of they're not asking for anything from you, and they mm-hmm. just want to really help you succeed.
No, for sure. And I think, you know, the folks we've met through this experience are our friends, are part of our family, and they've said that we are part of their family, right? And to our point, you know, community is a big thing for us, right? And seeing other folks that are embracing us, you know, and bringing us into their community without asking for something, you know, that's family.
Now, for you, what do you need more of? How can we help?
Well, you know, it's we'll be looking for beta testers, right? So if you're a caregiver caring for someone, you know, reach out to us. You know, I'm Carl at eva360.com, right? Sarab, Saurabh at eva360.com, right? Reach out to us, right? If you're an investor in the area, right, and are passionate about, I mean, we're all getting old. We're all going to be caring for or are caring for an aging parent, right? So if you're an investor in the Atlanta area or in the U.S., wherever you are, right, interested in our mission, let's have a conversation.
And quickly to add to that, if you're an affinity organization, so if you're a church, if you're a religious organization, if you're a school, anyone who is interested in helping the caregivers and being part of the community or already have services, reach out to us as well, because we may be able to make it better, make it easier for you as well.
Well, Sarab, Carl, congratulations again. What a fantastic feeling it must be to have gone through all of those machinations, put in the time, put in the energy, paid the price, and come out with this. But you're only getting started. What is the next step or the next couple of steps for you guys? What's where are your energies going to be invested in the coming, I don't know, six 9 months?
Well, I think, you know, it's fundraising. It's fundraising.
So, you hear that, Lee?
Right? So fundraising, right? We're fundraising. You know,
right.
For it to happen, you know, we got to bring the right capital and, of course, the right people, mm-hmm. too, right, to get us to that next level. Focusing and tweaking, right, our product. Also, you know, building alliances, right? We're all about community, right? So as Surab mentioned, you know, if you're out there, you are a community organization, you want to be able to, you want to support your community even better, right? Let us be that technology platform that lets you embrace your community.
I think that is a marvelous way to approach your continued success and your growth. Okay, one more time. Let's make sure that we leave our listeners with points of contact for either or both, whatever you feel like is appropriate. Email address, website, what have you. What's the best way for them to reach out?
Yes, I'm always on LinkedIn, folks. Carl Hanna. I think there's a PhD behind it. So on Carl Hanna, PhD on LinkedIn. Email, you know, Carl at eva360.com.
And that's Carl with a C, by the way.
That's Carl with a C.
Nice. And Sarab, should we leave some coordinates for you, or should we just send them to Carl?
I think it will be easier for the listeners to just stick with Carl.
You got it, man. Well, thank you again, gentlemen, for all of the hard work that you've put in. Thank you for what you're doing. Your mission, your work is important. It means a lot to all of us. We're excited. We're excited for you. And at least at Business Radio X at Code Launch, we're going to continue to follow your story, and we certainly want to help in any way that we can.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
All right. We'll be back in a few from Code Launch Atlanta 2021.